am excited to know that my walk with God is not just right here forever. That there are things in my life that can begin to change. There are areas in my life that I can begin to move out of the way so that I can begin to move closer to God. Amen. So I want to read a little bit today, and I just want to share with you some of the things that God has laid upon my heart. Because I feel like in the day that we're living in, that we are putting on too much and walking around with too much, trying to live our life with too many burdens upon our heart, trying to live with too much weight, and trying to act like that life is just fine. And I'm here to tell you that God is here to help you carry your load, but I'm here to also tell you that we're putting on too much weight and walking around with it. You see, there's too much that we walk around with on our mind, stuff that we put on our heart that shouldn't be there to begin with. There's things that we need to begin to address inside of us. But there are some things that we have to begin to do before we ever get there. Amen. There are some things that we have to begin to stir within us. Let us read. 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. And I just begin to think about all the things. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know that at some point in time in our life that we have to begin to deal with discouragement, depression, suicidal spirits, addictive spirits, sadness, anger, bitterness, spitefulness, hatefulness, rebelliousness, unwillingness, unhappiness, easily led away, hard-hearted, vengefulness, lusting spirits, disobedience, the list goes on and on.
Amen.
Amen. Those are things that we don't like to talk about in the house of God, but we often face them as soon as we leave. We come in and feel God's presence, and life is great and grand in the couple of hours that we're here. But I'm here to tell you that we all have to face those things when we leave. So what is it that we can do to go out to combat those things? I'm here to, as Peter began to speak here, he was saying that how that I, if I could stand before you, that we be able to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And that's what I'm here to do today. You might not know me, and that's okay. And you might not remember me, but that's all right. But what God wants me to do today that I feel like He's put in my heart is to put in your remembrance the things that God has done for you, the things that He has instilled in your spirit. You see, at one point in time in your life, there was a fire that was living inside of you, that there was nothing more important than God, that calling in your life meant more to you than anything that was out in front of you in your life. That getting in the doors to church meant more to you than getting in the doors to work. And that it meant more to you than making money. Or it meant more to you than your family, that you would forsake all those things to get into God's house and to do what He would call you to do. And you might not be there in your life, but I'm here to also tell you, to call you to remembrance, to let you know that you're missing out on something so great in your life, that you need the Spirit of God in your life. I'm here to tell you that we have to begin to stir up the gifts of God in our life. That if you have it in you, that you have to stir it in you to make it work. It's not just something that's just going to come around and remind you. It's something that I have to begin to stir. I'm going to feel depressed sometimes, but if I remind myself of who I am in God, remind myself of how blessed that I am, I'll be able to get up with another day and remind myself that I am somebody that has victory in my life, that I know that I am not defeated, that I have the Spirit in me, that I am not somebody
somebody that walks around with the enemy on my shoulder. I have the power endued from on high to put that to flight, and I don't have to wait till I come in and open the door and say, oh, preacher, help me. I have the power of God in me to say that I am a child of God, that I have the authority to be able to say, devil, get on out of my house. I have the power of God in me to say that I have happiness and joy and peace in my life. I'm calling to your remembrance that once in your life that you were lost. Once in your life you were desperate to have a change. Once in your life that you were not perfect, that we didn't have it all figured out, that God needed you to change, and we were willing at one point to say, God, I'm willing to lay my life down. Lord, change me as I am, God. I don't want to go to hell. And we go, we made that sacrifice, and then we come in and we're too proud to lift our hands up before God, too proud to sweat a little bit, too proud to shout a little bit. God wants that first step, just like he did the first time. God wants us to shout out, just like it did the first time. Those things never change. Those things are there for you to be able to use, to grow, to stir that which is in you. It's life to you. It's not something he gave to you to be optional. It's something to stir, to remind you when times are tough, that you'd be able to stand in the dark days and say, God, I know you're still there. Lord, I know that you're still with me. I feel God right now. Lord, I know you're still there. Stir it. Everybody do this with me. Everybody. You know what's happening right now? That's you stirring. You taking action. It is not stirred until you perform that. Everybody in the church, 99 people, could be singing, could be shouting, could be in the worship of God, and they could not move you. Because of our unwillingness. Come on now. Come on now. I've been in a place where the Spirit of God could have moved me and ran me around the building, but I was so stubborn, I was not willing to move, and I needed help so bad, and all I had to do was just stand up and rise and worship. People, we've got to wipe the pride out of our life. We have to realize that we are beneath God and not above him. And we don't have the answers, but he does. And he is ever in control. And we have to surrender that we're just the clay. That he is the potter. And that we got to be willing to be molded. We got to be willing to be broken sometimes. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But if we let God do it, he'll take care of us. He'll do the job right. We're not willing to let go. We'll sit in a circumstance for 1 year, 2 years, 20 years because we don't want God to take a hold of it. I felt that one. We want to be able to take a hold of something and say, I'm going to do it either this way or no way at all. Come on now. God wants us to be willing to be molded, to be shaped, to come to remembrance of who we are and who we were. Amen. I know who I was, and I remind myself of where I was. I was just an old addict. I was brought up right, but I made wrong decisions. Went up through school. I was doing fine and just made wrong choices, and then I was an addict. And that's all it took, was just a couple of bad choices. But God still had mercy on me. You understand? And all it took was just a lot of prayer and then a willing heart for me to finally be willing to change. Now, church, if we have burdens for people out there, we've got to do a lot of prayer in here. So a lot of sitting and a lot of doing nothing is going to accomplish a lot of nothing. We got to come in and get busy. If you've got a lot of things you need God to move in, you better come in and act like it. Amen. The one that was blind could not see, but he cried out.
Blind Bartimaeus cried out, could not see, but he just heard that he was coming by. Sometimes I don't know when God's going to move in my situation, but I want to be in a place where I'm just crying. Lord, I know you're going to come. I am blind in my circumstances, you see. We don't have control of these things, and if we act like we do, you're oblivious to reality. It does not matter how old you are in this room right now. You might be going through things that make you feel hurt, that make you feel afflicted, that make you feel upset or angry, that puts you in a bad place, that do not allow you to get up and worship. But I'm here to tell you that is a trick of the enemy to keep you back and away from the will of God in your life. I'm here to tell you that I'm just another normal person in this world, but I'm one that believes and I'm trusting in God with a little faith. It doesn't take a whole great big lot of it. If you start out with a little, He'll build something great in you.
I was just an addict, and God delivered me. I'm nothing special. Just a country boy. Nothing special. We think that we're something great and grand because we've been on the walk with God for 10, 20 years.
No.
Doesn't mean a thing.
No.
Think we're special because we tied something great in the offering. That don't mean a thing. All these people chasing riches out there, and they think they've accomplished so much in this world, and it don't mean anything. And I encourage people to get their college educations, but you can get out there and get that. Go out and obtain your riches, and it doesn't mean anything. Because without God first in your life, everything else is meaningless. Everything else means goose egg, because you'll never find joy. You'll never find peace. You'll never find something to fill the void. You will be searching. You'll constantly be looking. You'll always feel empty. And I'm telling you, when you put God in there first, everything else will be added unto you. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
You know where I'm coming from?
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Jesus.
Can we read on?
Amen.
So that was second Peter. Let's go to the 10th chapter of Hebrews if you're keeping up. And now we're going to get a little more serious. Everybody's with me and excited now. Now let's get to where we're going. Chapter 10, verse 22. Is this all right?
It's good. Yes.
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Uh-oh. Now we're getting somewhere. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the professions of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We'll stop there before we finish the rest of that. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Everywhere you go, churches are falling apart and deserting. Because they're losing the true value of what they mean. They think it's a social gathering.
Yeah.
They think it's somewhere just to be on Sunday, to hang out with everybody else that they know, put on a nice dress, put on a nice suit, shake a few hands, see the nice preacher who will read something to inspire us that we'll forget and go on and do as we want to the rest of the week. I'm a realist, and I call it just like it is.
Amen.
Exactly. Come on now. Now, you can either make church something like a social gathering, or we can make it what the Word of God wanted it to always be. A place that where we came in, that we would lift up those that were down. That if I saw you in need of encouragement, that I didn't just sit idly by and say, I shook her hand, that's all that I needed to do. That I would actually go and say, do you need prayer?
Are you in need? Is there anything I can do to help? The Word of God wanted us to be more than just a friendly face. The Word of God wants us to be closer than a brother, wants us to have the mind of Christ. In other words, the church is supposed to be more than just a building, more than just a social setting. Amen. Some of the places that they have now that are established now are, they have it set up to where people just set up and meet. Singles meet singles. When did we ever have a place where the house of God was anything more than an establishment to save the lost? Uh-oh. I won't go there. Maybe we will. Maybe we will just for a minute. I always thought, since I've grown up and since I've known the Spirit, that if somebody came in that truly needed God, that the church would always be able to come together and meet it by the Spirit. But I've been in some places where they have lost that ability. And not only was I ashamed in myself, but it broke my heart. Because they went out the same way they came in. And the blood's on our hands. You understand? The Word of God talked about that, that if we ever caught ourselves slacking in that, that if we ever brought so much sin into the church that we could not help others out of it, that we would be held accountable. Now listen, if we know better, and if there's only five of you here and somebody comes in, those five better get busy. You better get in a place where you can help them, and it better just not be a place where we just come in and say, oh, I hope they got what they needed. We better get down and have blood, sweat, and tears and do what we need to do. Because we're the only ones left. If you're waiting on the next people to come in and help you, I'm here to tell you, you are the ones that's going to help them.
Amen.
This is it.
Yeah.
And unless you establish yourselves as the example and as the pillar and as the ones that's going to get up there and lay on of hands and be the church that we're defined to be, it's going to fade away. It'll be another church with its doors shut, or the ones with them wide open and the Spirit already dried out of it.
Amen.
I know that's hard talk. But that's the way God's called me to speak it, okay?
Right.
We have to be better than that.
Yeah.
I want to always be in a church where if people come in,
yeah.
The church that we go to, we have people come in that are literally in bondage right then. And if we're not careful, they'll go right back out the same way, because you have to be prepared right then.
Yeah.
Put yourself in a situation if somebody came in that was hooked on something right now. Like 2 minutes, if I told you 2 minutes from now somebody was going to come in hooked on drugs, and that was the last time you were going to see them, and this was your only chance to help pray them out, church, would you be ready?
Right, amen.
That's the kind of church that I'm talking about. Because there's some churches that they say that there's programs out there available for you, and 2 days later they're dead because they're too late. Some churches dismiss it because they're too bad.
That's right. Amen.
And I was too bad.
God, so good.
But God saw fit to give me a chance. And that's why I'm going out. That's why I'm still standing, because I know and I'm still alive and breathing, and God delivered me. And they prayed for me for months. Didn't see me for months, but still believe God. You hear me? They didn't know where I was at or what I was doing, but they knew that God was going to change me. And one day it finally hit me that I was at rock bottom. I need to change. And if you pray for somebody enough, conviction is going to get them. How many still believe in conviction? Conviction will get them. You think that they keep smarting off to you, they keep rebelling, they keep mouthing off to you, don't worry about that. That's just the enemy talking. If you keep praying, God is going to change it. Hallelujah. I know that God is going to change it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's read on. Get to the tougher part of this. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
Amen.
but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit it of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I wish that I could end this on a positive place, and maybe God will let me. But I felt like that when I was praying today, this morning, that God was leading me, that because I wanted to speak to the young ones here and relay a message, but I felt like God was wanting me to relay a message to the elders of the church too, that we got to get busy, and if we see a need, we better act on it. The church, you might be the only one that sees it in prayer. You might be the only one, and you're thinking, well, I might offend them, or I might upset them, or I might be in the way of something. You might not know that might be the last time they're in the doors. Okay? And wouldn't you rather them get a little upset with you for you getting them up there just to ask them for prayer and face the persecution of the gospel than to just let it go by and live in regret of something later? Because there's a lot of people that used to love me for the person that I used to be but cannot stand me for the person that I am now. Because I stand for something different. My standard is higher. And there's a lot of things that we used to be able to agree upon, people I used to hang out with, those I've had to cut my losses. And places I used to go, people that I used to talk to, the life that I used to live, everything had to change. And we have to set a standard. And we have to be a consistent body of Christ. We got to be ready for them. And, you know, I just said that in a scenario, but you never know when it's going to come. Well, we just have the same crowd every week. You never know when it's going to be time. God wants us to be prepared so that He can send them. He wants us to be ready so that He can send them. If we're always in the same place, going around the same mountain, God cannot send people in so that they can get help. There's so many churches where they have statistics reported where they've had this many saved in like 2 and 3 years at a time. You see this? I'm talking about people just professing God to be their Savior, not to mention anybody being delivered from anything. It's a scary, scary thing to me. I don't know if that alarms anybody else, but that scares me. If you enjoy the Spirit of God and you have that for yourself and you know it, just know that there's people out there that don't have that. There's people out there that need that and they don't know the peace of God. They have not came to the full realization of who He is. There's peace and joy and all those wonderful things, but when you come to the realization of who He is, you're able just to get up with just such an assurance in your heart. And you're able to lay your head down at night with this ability that they don't have.
That's right.
And that's something they're missing out on. And if you're under the sound of my voice today, you're missing out. I'm not going to act like that it's something that it's okay to live life without. You're missing out. It's something that you need in your life. You need salvation in your life. But I'm here to tell you that, guys, stir up that which is in you. And don't be ashamed of that which you have inside of you. And you might feel like that people make fun of you. And I'm here to tell you that they're always going to make fun of you. Always. And I've found that even when I tried, this is a true story, even when you try to please two or three people that have been making fun of you, by the time you please those two or three, there's already two or three more people that's already started. You are not going to please them all. especially ministers of the gospel, they try to do the best that they can, but if you have two or three critics and you worry about those critics forever, it hinders your ministry. You have to just get out there and preach it the way that God wants you to. You have to obey God as God wants you to. You got to quit worrying about what people think. Because at the end of the day, who is it that's at your bedside kneeling down praying before God? Is it you and me? Are we together? Am I the one that's going to help you through?
No.
No. It's not me. It's you and God. So why would you worry about what I was thinking? If anything, we're here to assemble together to what? To exhort. To encourage. If I'm criticizing you, it's not my place to do that anyway. I've got something I need to examine. Amen. I've got something I need to look at. In other words, we need to come in stirring those things up. We were reading the other day, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Oh man, those scriptures are good stuff. You can get in there and read them. What is it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Is that right? Bible scholars? All right. But I'm closing up, but I just want you to know that the only way that you can continue in a successful walk with God without having to be so dependent on always looking for somebody to get you going is that you stir that which is in you. You find something to grab hold of and you count your blessings. I don't care if you look at the bills that got paid last month. That's somewhere to start. Just the fact that you had food on your table and that you're not starving to death is a place that you can look at. The fact that you're alive and that you're blessed and that you're able to have clothes on your back is a place that you can start. The fact that He knows the very hairs on your head and you can read the prayers and the psalms that if I laid my bed in hell, you are there. And you might be going to a place where it feels that way, but God is still there with you. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. And even in the midst of affliction, God is there with you. Amen. But we have to clear out the junk, guys. We got to move it out. We got to line up to the Word of God. And we've got to stir that which is in us. If you stir that which is in you, the Holy Ghost will teach you, show you how to live. Amen. Show you how to live, show you what to do, line you up, and it'll teach you how to speak. Man, I used to talk so bad, and it was just like when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I didn't even have to worry about anything coming out that shouldn't have. It was like it was just gone. You know what I mean? And it was just like the clothes that I used to wear, they looked so bad. I used to wear the absolute worst stuff that I could possibly think of. It was calculated, of course. I was calculating how I could look the possible worst. And it was just like when I got that, it was like all of that changed. The very way that I would walk, the way that I talked, my entire life changed. You mean you can have all that in one experience? Yes, you can. Yes, you absolutely can. I'm telling you, surrender is one of the hardest things that you do before God, but if done correctly in your heart, the best thing that you'll ever do. However much that you're willing to give to God is how much more room. Just think about it. However much that you clear out in your house is how much more room there is to bring in new things. The more stuff that you give up and clear out of your way, the stuff that the enemy puts on your back, well, I can't live without this. I can't live without that. I have to have this in my life. I need this person. If that person's a bad influence,
amen.
Come on now. Somebody amen. Give me an amen.
Amen.
They got to go. If an object or something is in your way, you've got to stir up the spirit in you.
Right.
Push it on out. Realize that you're better than those things.
Right.
Amen. I know this is tough talk. But we're bigger than those objects. We're better than that. We're not children, are we? I don't see any bottles in anybody's mouths in here. Unless I need to go get a box of passies. We can pass those out to everybody. But I don't think we're there. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to be assertive, know who we are, and know where we're going. You assert who you are. I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget. It just blew me away the way God that showed it to me. What we stir up keeps us. What keeps us is what defines us. And what defines us is what people see. That's what I wanted to get out. If you, whatever you stir up, whatever you have going on in your life, when Monday comes around, what do people see in you?
Yeah.
This is what I'm closing with. Can you see? You sing one. Come on. They want to hear you sing. People will see. If you're unhappy on Monday, and you go and tell them about how horribly miserable you are, and how life has just came down on you and nothing's going right and I just cannot believe, why in the world would they be drawn to your countenance? Why would they want to come to your church? Why would they be interested in even hanging out with you?
There you go.
Amen.
There you go.
They need to be around somebody that has something in them that draws them. Why don't you surprise them next time? Be like, I know that I've said a lot of stuff the past few weeks, months, years, that has been negative, but I'm letting you know that I'm turning my life around and that this riffraff I've talked about is over. Why don't you shock some people with your life changes? Tell them that all this stuff that we sit around and talk about on lunch breaks, it's over. All this stuff when we talk about at school, I'm done talking about it because I'm better than these things. Amen. If you make a few sacrifices and move some things out of the way and be obedient unto God, obedience is what? Come on. Stir up the things in you. Be obedient to God. Oh man, in your church services. Let's finish with that. You'll come in. You'll come in and you think that this is just some crazy wild guy that just come in and blew everything up. But this is just me being a proactive person in God.
Yes.
Being active in the week. Yes. Not just making it a Sunday, Wednesday, two-day a week thing and forgetting about God the rest of the time.
That's right.
This is real.
Yes.
This is a real lifestyle.
Right.
If I committed to God, just like I commit to my wife, it's something that's real. It's something that I don't let go of, that I don't forget about or forsake. If He doesn't forsake me,